Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Today is August the 17th in the year 2011 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a very timely topic tonight, and that's back to school with ADHD. And with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Kenny Handelman. As always, we're gonna get into a lively discussion here in a second, but there's a few announcements I'd like to make. First of all, as many of you know, Time Timer has been a loyal advertiser on our show for a period of time. Matter of fact, I always start my little iPad Time Timer when the show starts to keep track of things. But I have an announcement today. I do need to read this because I have to get it right. Attention Talk Radio and Time Timer are about helping those with ADHD move forward. As a result, we want you to know that Time Timer is having a back-to-school special. That's right, just for you guys. If you call 877-771-TIME, that's T-I-M-E, tell them you heard about Time Timer's back-to-school special on Attention Talk Radio, you can get $10 off the purchase of their 3-inch size Time Timer model. Now, this offer is only good to September 1st, so don't delay. Do it today. If you want to learn more about Time Timer, go to timetimer.com. And again, the telephone number is 877-771-TIME. Also wanted to remind everybody, as we've been doing for a period of time, that the CHAD conference is coming up in Orlando, Florida, just 100 miles up the road from us. That's in November, November 10th to the 12th at Disney. For more information, you go to chadd.org. And I think they're taking sign-ups and everything at this point in time for that, so I encourage you to do that. And next, I wanted to make everybody aware that the virtual ADHD conference that is going to take place October the 3rd through the October the 6th. This is our first time announcing that, but it's around the corner. This is a great conference. It is a virtual conference, so no need to leave your house. You can learn more about it if you go to ADHDconference.com. Again, that's ADHDconference.com. They actually have their agenda up for the 4 days of the conference. There's some great speakers. I think Ari Tuckman's doing it. I think Patricia Twin's doing it. I think Dave Gork's doing it. All, and there's a host of people who have that are presenting that have been on the show. So I can vouch it's going to be a quality conference, and I encourage you to attend. Again, for our iTunes listeners, if you want to get a list of our upcoming shows, if you go to attentionradio.com, you can sign up for our newsletter, and we will email you twice a month a list of our upcoming shows. We are scheduled out now into October, and certainly we will be all the way through October and November. Right now we're working on a special set of Attention Talk Radio shows the week of ADHD Awareness Week, which I'm pretty sure we're going to have a lot more information for you for next week. But we need to move on because you didn't call to hear all that stuff. You wanted to hear Dr. Handelman talk about going back to school. And so just briefly, Dr. Handelman is a psychiatrist who specializes in assessing and treating children and adolescents with ADHD. His practice is established at Halton Health Services in Oakville, Trafalgar Hospital. I hope I got that right, just outside of Ontario, Canada. He's an adjunct professor of psychology at the University of Western Ontario and is board certified in both the United States and in Canada. Dr. Handelman won an Excellence in Teaching Award at the University of Western Ontario in 2006. He has developed an innovative ADHD advisory network to teach doctors across Canada about how to diagnose and treat ADHD, but also teaches teachers, parents, kids, educators about ADHD itself. He's appeared on numerous TV and radio shows talking about ADHD and maintains a number of websites and an ADHD newsletter to give evidence-based, up-to-date online information about ADHD. His websites garner more than 500,000 visitors a year, so you know that he's popular. And with that, Dr. Handelman, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Before we get into some things, I just wanted to briefly talk about, you got a new book out, right? Attention Difference Disorder?
That's correct, yes.
I was flipping through the book, and one of the things that I really liked about it is the title, attention difference disorder, not attention deficit. And on page one, you talk about the book and the title. It's not your intention to change it, but rather really to help people pay attention to ADHD differently by focusing on it differently, because everybody is unique and different, and if you pay attention to people as all being the same, you're not going to get anywhere. And I suspect that if you your intention here is, if you pay attention to the differences, you can actually find solutions.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me, and it's a great show, and I really appreciate what you're doing to raise awareness about ADHD, because it's so important for people. So with this book, I chose the term attention difference disorder for a couple of reasons. The first reason is, when I'm assessing a child or teen and I diagnose ADHD, one of the first things parents will say, if they're not too knowledgeable about the condition, is they'll say, how can you say he has an attention deficit? My child has an attention deficit, when he can sit and play Xbox for, you know, hours and hours. And of course, people can focus on things that are very stimulating. And that's not the problem. The problem is focusing on the mundane, day-to-day, not-so-stimulating things. So there's a difference in attentional abilities, not always a deficit. So that's one main concept. The other concept is looking for differences rather than deficits, really to emphasize a strength-based approach. Because when it comes down to it, if a child comes into the office, or a teen, or an adult, and they get a diagnosis of ADHD, and they're basically being told their brain has deficits, that's pretty difficult. I mean, it's one thing to hear your joint has deficits, so you have arthritis. It's another thing to hear your brain does. And I think that's excessively negative and leads to difficulty. So I like to look at differences, look at a strength-based approach, and really find solutions. And in the book, we've got 7 steps, but let's move on to discuss our topic of tonight.
Well, I do want to emphasize, because you made a great point. If you pay attention to deficit, you get deficit answers. If you pay attention to what works, you get what works answers. And I have not had a chance to read it entirely, but I can only imagine, based off of my familiarity with you and your work, this book focuses on how to move forward by focusing on what you can do and what you can't do. So everyone out there, it's attention deference disorder. A little later in the show, we'll make sure that you know how to get this in your hands. So moving on to the topic, Dr. Handelman, I want to start the show off by you assessing my situation, because I'm in Tampa, Florida. My kids start school on Monday, okay?
Great.
And this week is famous in our family because it's boot camp week. And what boot camp week is it's the week before we start school. You know, the kids have been staying up to 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and sleeping in the morning because it's the lazy days of summer. But this week, 8:45, it's bedtime. Everybody's got to get down. We start setting that alarm clock in the morning where we have to start getting up, and people are like grousing around. And through that week, we always save a book or two of summer reading for this week to sit down where, you know, it's not a lot of fun, but we get into that routine of having actually starting to read and kind of get back into it. Can you give me an assessment? Am I off base? Is this a good idea, a bad idea? Just in general of getting ready for school.
I think that's an outstanding idea. It's really important. I'm glad you're doing it. The only critique I would give is maybe 2 weeks, right? Now, in Ontario, where we are, school starts the day after Labor Day. So there is a little more than 2 weeks right now. And I guess different places, people start at different times. But really, when it comes down to it, you know, particularly teenagers who are going to high school, you know, teenagers in summer, some of the kids I see in my office, they go to bed at 4 in the morning and wake up at 3 in the afternoon. And, you know, a week is almost just not enough for them to get into the routine so they can actually be in school at 8:30 in the morning with their eyes open and ready to learn. But it is really important to get out of the summer schedule and get into the school schedule in advance of school starting.
I'd like to share with everybody out there, we call it boot camp in our house for a reason, because it's not pleasant for anybody, parents and kids included. Kids go to bed at 8:45, they're staring at the ceiling, they're wrestling around, they're kind of coming in. We're having to wake up in the morning, kind of hustling around with the grousing and stuff. So I'm everybody out there, I tell you, it's not pleasant in our house, but the nice thing I can say is that when we get through it and school starts, we've adjusted the schedule. Now we're dealing with the nuances of school. We're not dealing with both of those at the same time. So
exactly.
I just have to throw in there, it's we all know in our house that, you know, it's not pleasant for the parents or kids involved, but it's helpful. So with that said, Dr. Handelman, can you give some other tips on that would be helpful for families out there to make this transition?
Yeah, well, my first tip that I always talk about is exactly what you said. It's readjusting sleep. And I just want to comment a little more. It's so important because people with ADD often have trouble with sleep, right? So they have trouble getting to sleep or staying asleep. And teens always have that sort of day-night reversal, right, where they tend to sleep in too late. So it is really important. That's tip number one, so important. Tip number two is really about setting up expectations for your child's day, thinking about the schedule, right? So you spoke about doing a bit of reading, right, that they have a
yep.
book for summer reading and kind of get them into the routine of sitting down, reading. They're not just outside riding bikes or watching a movie or playing video games. They're actually going to do some mental work in the days leading up to school. And
mm-hmm.
that's a very good idea. And when it comes to schedules, you'll have a certain schedule in your home, right? So everybody gets up at whatever time, let's say 7:30 in the morning, then there's breakfast, then pack up the bags at 8:15, get out the door to the bus at 8:30. It's worthwhile to really go through that with your child in advance, talk it through, set it up, maybe even write it out so it's graphical so your child can see what's going to happen. So that they know, okay, I'm getting up at 7:30, I'm going to be out the door at 8:30, I'm at the bus at 8:45, the bus takes me to school, I have my day like this, I have my lunch here, I finish school there, I get home from there, you know, and just lay out that schedule so that you're mentally preparing your child to or teen to be ready for the school day.
So bring in a little bit of structure and start getting like conditioning them to get that change so when school starts, when that more structured environment, you know, it's not like going cold turkey on caffeine, not having your cup of coffee. They've got a little bit of a transition going into it.
Exactly. And then they know what to expect, right? So when they get there, they're not thrown off or confused or frustrated or whatever, right? They know what's coming.
Absolutely. I tell you what, Dr. Hammond, I'd like to go to a commercial break. Before we do, for our listeners out there who are interested in contacting you, whether it be for your book or some of the stuff, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Probably the best way is to go to the website www.attentiondifferencedisorder.com. And at the top, there's a little contact us button. You can send in a message that way.
And can they order your book off that website?
Yeah, there's a little spot right next to contact us is book, and it's got information about the book and links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all that kind of stuff.
Excellent. So with that, we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
I thought I could handle college, but I just got my grades. My first year was a disaster. I barely passed. My folks think I slacked off, but I really tried hard. I just could not keep organized with all my assignments. By the end, I just gave up. Maybe I'm just not cut out for college.
Did you know that students have the highest risk of failure during their first semester of college? That's especially true for students who learn differently. Many bright and motivated students with learning disabilities and ADHD have chosen Landmark College in Vermont in order to develop the learning strategies and confidence they'll need to succeed academically. Princeton Review says, simply put, Landmark College knows how to serve students who learn differently better than any other place on earth. We're now accepting students for our fall semester. Learn more at landmark.edu. That's landmark.edu.
Has your child been diagnosed with ADHD? Is he not fulfilling his potential? Success in Mind can help. We provide assessments that identify a student's learning profile of strengths and challenges. The result? A practical plan of strategies and tools that go beyond medication that parents, teachers, and students can implement together. If your child needs more success, visit Success in Mind at www.success-in-mind.org.
News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at attentionradio.com. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got Dr. Kenny Hendelman with us in our virtual studio talking about back to school with ADHD, a very timely discussion. Before the break, we were talking about the need to adjust the sleep schedule to kind of get congruent with the school system in the school schedule and to sit down and start listing expectations and start to plan. Dr. Kelman, what other tips do you have for our families out there that are getting ready to make this transition?
All right. Well, it's really important to think about, review what went well last year and what the challenges were last year. You know, when you think about it, maybe your child had trouble with, you know, projects, or maybe it was daily homework or whatever it was. And it's really important to go through and review what those challenges were so that you can proactively plan this year to develop some strategies to help in that area, right? So take some time to think about that. You know, review the report cards. I'm sure you remember all too well what the teacher suggested needed work from last year. So take some time to think about that. Plan with it. See if you can enroll your child in that as well.
What you started that off with what went well first. And
yeah,
that's kind of powerful, because I think this is probably the philosophy of your book, is if you pay attention to what was working, what went well, not just, you know, math didn't go very good, you know, reading went very well, I mean, or English went very well. If you kind of focus on what was going well with that, and you take a look at where your child was excelling, if you really learn something about that, there's lots of things that you can learn from that experience and say, maybe we should start to pull some of that stuff into the math environment in some way to kind of help them out. And I think it's important in what you're saying, not just to look at what didn't go right, but actually what worked very well last year, because you can learn so much from those experiences.
You know, I'm really glad you said that, and I'm going to give a bit more of an advanced point here, because I want to bring this point home. It is really important, and I agree with everything you've said, and that's why I said that first. The one tricky thing is, I want everybody listening to be careful of the word but, because what a lot of people say is, well, son, I know you did great in math, you made a lot of improvements last year, but you still struggled with your reading, and now we're going to have to work on that this year, right? Now, the thing about but is, have you ever heard, Jeff, I'm sure you've heard somebody who says, well, I'm not a racist, but...
Yep.
Well, what are they about to say? They're about to say a racist comment, right?
Yep.
In other words, they say, like, the first phrase, and then they say but, and when they say but, they negate the first phrase, right? Like,
yep.
I'm not a racist, but, meaning I'm about to say something racist, right? And that happens unconsciously. So, parents, when you're saying... you did really well with math and you made great improvements, you have to say and this year we're going to work on reading and take that same great momentum and move it forward. And it may seem like a sticky little point, but it really makes, I just said but, and it really makes a dramatic input, a dramatic effect on people.
And I, not to pile on, but you are in the epicenter of really changing the way you manage kids and stuff with ADHD and stuff. Because when you put butt in, you really are going, you're negating everything. You're paying attention to the negative and not worth it. But when you go with the and, you're changing the whole the context of it. And in coaching, I got three people I'm coaching right now. Their homework is basically to eliminate the word but from their vocabulary. And it's hard for them. It's very hard because you can't pay attention to what's going right if you use the word but, because it's like you dish all that stuff aside and you focus on what's not going. You have to kind of shift that mentality to end. So I think the emphasis of the show right now where we are on this but is much bigger than school. It's so important, but I don't really know what to say, because you articulate it so well. When you use the word but, you negate everything. You shift all your attention back to an area that is really not very helpful and useful to yourself. So, not to beat that horse too much, but I'm glad you emphasized it.
Yep, absolutely. So let's talk about homework. Let's talk about this, because many families, certainly in my office, I hear this: homework time is a challenge. You know, we end up doing, you know, what should take 20 minutes takes 2 hours, and we're all yelling at each other by the end of it. So there's a couple of things I want parents to think about for homework. Number one, be careful about classwork that gets sent home as homework. So if everybody gets 30 minutes to do classwork, and your ADHD child, because of the distractions, hardly gets anything done, then your child gets the 15 minutes homework plus the 30 minutes of classwork that didn't get finished. Speak to the teachers about them putting the right resources into place to help your child get that schoolwork done in school so that when you get home, your child only has the 15 minutes of homework that everybody else had. That's number one. Doesn't always work perfectly, but ask for it. Number two is there has to be a routine for homework. You can't sort of do this kind of like, well, when you get home, when we feel like it, or when it's kind of the right time, we'll start. Because your child's going to want to go out and play or get on the Xbox or watch a TV show. And they say, okay, son, now it's time to come. And then, you know, when it seems like it's a decision, the decision is always, I'd rather do something else. But when it's a routine, when they come home at 3:30, they have a snack, they get to do something for fun for half an hour, and then at 4 o'clock they meet at the kitchen table, they sit down, mom goes through the agenda and the to-do work with them, and then they work. And I love using timers. I love encouraging timers where people, you know, play beat the clock. Let's see if you get 9 minutes of work before you take a break or get a sip of water or get up and stretch your legs. So it has to be a routine. And in the beginning, that takes a lot of work. Afterwards, it gets natural, right? We don't think about, should we brush our teeth in the morning, because it's such an ingrained routine because we've done it so many times. So you want to train your kids that they get home, they have a snack, they have a break, and then at 4 o'clock they sit down and they get their work done, or whatever time works for you.
So what I'm hearing from you is two things. Number one, gift yourself a conversation with a teacher so that your ADHD child is not bringing home more than just homework. Leave
right.
the class. Work with them to have the responsibility to reduce the burden on you so that they work to make sure they get the classwork done in school so you're just dealing with homework, not the two together. And two is set up this routine so there's an expectation or there's some muscle memory or mind memory or whatever you want to call it so that they kind of instinctively do that so you're not having to fight that uphill battle of switching things because at any given time they're going to want to do something else.
Absolutely. Yep.
Doc, we need to go to another commercial break real quick, but again, for those that want to get in touch with you, can you give out the website again?
Sure, attentiondifferencedisorder.com.
That's attentiondifferencedisorder.com, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
The Virtual ADHD Conference is an online event that empowers you with the information, tools, and resources that you and your family need to succeed with ADHD. Join us at ADHDconference.com.
Okay, let's be honest here. How many times have you forgotten the wet laundry in the washer and it started smelling a little funky, so you had to wash it again, maybe even twice, in the same week? Well, you may be an AD diva just like me. I'm Linda Rogley, and I founded the AD Diva Network for women with ADD-ish tendencies, especially those of us 40 and better. The AD Diva Network is a great place for support, connection, and a touch of whimsy. You can join us at addiva.net. That's addiva.net.
Awareness of how your brain processes information and emotion is the key to self-management and success in today's world. I am an international ADD coach. Contact me, Susan McIntosh, at susanmcintosh.com to see and hear how you too can be a success.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We have Dr. Kenny Hendelman in our studio talking about back to school with ADHD. And thus far, I got to tell you, Dr. Hendelman, this has been a very enlightening show. We've covered a lot of great material going back to school and some things that go past that, like our little but and conversation earlier. But to continue on, any other tips for our parents and families out there?
Sure. So before the break, you spoke about how important it is for parents to talk to the teachers, and that's critically important. Parents are advocates for their kids. They really need to get in there, communicate well, advocate. Unfortunately, you have to do a lot of education too. There are some schools that are outstanding that really get it, and there are many schools out there that don't. So you need to go in, you need to talk to the teacher, you need to talk to guidance or principal or vice principal. explain what's going on with your child, talk about what works best for your child, lessons you learned from last time. Hopefully in a good school, they've passed on communication. They may have an individual education plan in place that has a plan together that, you know, moves with your child from year to year. So many times you go in and the teacher hasn't read it or doesn't know, and you really need to kind of explain it. Now, there are many times that parents get frustrated with teachers and don't feel that they're doing enough to help their child. And the bottom line is, whether they are helpful or wonderful or just frankly not helpful, they are the key to your child's success during the year, so you need to do your best to work with them. And so go in early, meet with them regularly, set up communication, whether it's regular email communication or whether you use like an agenda, you know, notebook that gets passed back and forth through the backpack or whatever. It's very important to communicate with the teacher.
Wow. I'm going to reframe what you said. What I'm hearing you say is, you know, sometimes it can be difficult getting to the teachers, but the bottom line is you need to make sure you're working with them and never work against them, because you've got the teacher for that year, and you need to make
yep.
the best of it. And you need
yep.
to communicate with them and don't give up. I mean, it might not be the way you want it to be, but you're going to have to work with them because this is really about your child's education.
Absolutely.
And
if it's not going to work out well and it's going to be terrible, maybe the best thing you can do is try to get advice from the school administration about who could be the best teacher the next year. But anyways, we're at the beginning of the school year, so hopefully you get good support right away.
Absolutely. So we've got about we got 3 minutes. Any other juicy tidbits for our parents?
Well, I think it's really important, maybe just in light of the other things we've spoken about, it's really important to focus on your child's strengths. You know, we've all seen, you know, when a kid scores his first goal in hockey or first goal in soccer or when they bring home their first A, how excited they are and how excited we are for them. And you can see the pride on their face. And even if your child isn't bringing home A's, even if they're bringing home B's or C's, as they do well, find anything to be enthusiastic about and cheer for. You know, making a new friend, getting invited to parties, you know, doing outstanding art, you know, getting chosen for the volleyball team, whatever it is. Make sure to balance it out. Many parents get into the kind of day-to-day, I'm in the rut, I'm working hard, we just got to make it through this week and, you know, get to the next report card and everything else. You need to stop and enjoy your child. You need to celebrate their successes. You know, one of the main points I put in my book for parents, and I know parents are on such tremendous pressure, one of the main points is it doesn't count that you love your child. We all love our child. What really counts is, does your child feel like you love your child? And trust me, in my office when I see kids, trust me when I say that I see kids who say, I don't know if my mom loves me because every day she's nagging at me and telling me all the things I didn't do. So it's tremendously important to focus on the strengths, take a break from the routine, and just connect with your child. You love them. They're outstanding in so many ways. So make sure to celebrate that and enjoy it.
You brought up some great points. And one thing I like to comment as an individual who coaches those with ADHD, one of the things that when everybody comes, somebody will come to me and say, listen, I want you know, coaching on an organization or kind of whatever, and I always sit there and say, tell me a time in your life when you were on time or you did it. Or in the case of your child, let's say he's struggling in school, but there's one class that stands up. For whatever reason, he does real well in science, and he comes home with, like, you know, a 95 on a test. Just to turn to your child and say, wow, you got a 95 on that test. What is it that you think you did that enabled you to get that 95? In other words, what was it that enabled you to do that? And the child and you, for the first time, start to think, wow, I did well. What was the good thing that allowed me to do that? And it's a very enlightening experience if you actually pause and think about that, because as you start to realize that, you can actually learn a lot about what is working and then use that to apply it to things that aren't. And at the same time, you're pointing out and recognizing, hey, you did something really cool over here and I'm really proud of you, making the child feel like the parents really care. And just want to
yep.
emphasize that. Dr. Hamill, I want to tell you, I'm thrilled that you came on the show. I think this is you brought out a bunch of excellent points. In wrapping things up, do you have any last little tidbits or nuggets before we sign off?
You know what? Think about the holidays. Plan the good times too. You know, like, you got to put a lot of work into school, but make sure you're, you know, working towards something exciting for, you know, Thanksgiving or the long weekends or whatever.
Excellent.
So you have a good time.
Again, Dr. Hamill, thanks for coming on. And again, for those that want to get in touch with you, they go to attentiondifferencedisorder.com, correct?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And on that webpage, they can also order your book, which I encourage them to check out.
Thank you.
Thanks again, everyone. We'll catch you next week for another edition of Attention Talk Radio.